Okay, it's a meeting of the Nye Beach Commercial Parking District, November 8th, 2011. Derek Toko, staff.
Kathy Cleary, Toujours Boutique.
Dave Team, Nye Beach Suites.
Melissa Ramon, staff.
Wendy Engler, Nye Beach Gallery.
Linda Nagabauer, Nye Cottage Beads and Vacation Rentals.
The sole real agenda topic that we had for this one was kind of an update on status of the sidewalks and 3rd and 6th and lighting options.
Great.
At that location. Tim was going to be attending this meeting, and he got tied up at the shops, but Melissa's been working with him, and she's kind enough to agree to step in on like absolutely no notice to kind of, give you a rundown of kind of where they're at.
Seconds. I have to step off my desk. Okay, I believe, Wendy, that you worked with Troy Deli to figure out some lighting options or.
I did. It was prior to putting the street or the sidewalk on the north side. But Kathy, you were there a couple times. So, yeah, well, I have been around the area with him several times.
Okay, so what I did is I took Troy's lighting plan that he talked to you about, and I put it on an aerial so that everybody could see, based on that plan, where we could, where they were designed to be. If you look at it, forgive me, I mean, I don't know all the conversations that have gone before, so if I recover ground, you already have gone, yeah, we haven't talked about that. But it looks like the way the acorn lights are going in, especially on that first block between Coast and Brook, you can see by the shadows that they're underneath existing poles, which will not be going away. So your whole effect of your acorn lighting from an ambiance thing is kind of neutralized by the cobra heads that are overhead. And partly why the cobra heads wouldn't be going away is because these would not be spaced sufficiently for safe pedestrian lighting. So we would need the cobra heads to stay. So you would have in this first block a cluttered sidewalk becoming even more cluttered. So you can kind of see that.
Well, then we are the poles actually in the sidewalk, or are they on the other side of it?
No, some of them are in, and some of them, like around here, you can't put them back any further. So along,
is this the south side of the street or the north?
This is the south side of the street. This is.
I thought they'd been moved to the north side of the street.
Yeah, we're working on the north
side. No, not in Troy's design. They had not. They were still on the south side.
See, I haven't talked to Troy since the sidewalk was moved over here. I think Derek talked to him, so that's why.
Well, we did talk to him, though, because he was talking about the poles being owned by phone company, and they were on the north side, and he was going to get them moved to the south side so we could have lighting on the north side.
Yeah, we were. That's right. Okay.
The letter that I have.
Is there adequate lighting with what they have now?
Okay, let's go back a little bit, because
I haven't walked it at night.
I just talked to Troy about 2 weeks ago on this, and his design still had them on the south side. When I went through and started doing this, we determined that because of the lighting, it would be better to put the sidewalk on. I talked to Tim about it, and it's by no means finalized, so if I make you nervous with the statement, don't be. It's still in the design phase. But the sidewalk would be easiest on the south side. Because if you if we put the lighting on the north side, you have to cut the asphalt, and you have to take conduit over, or you have to take overhead wires. For the $14,000 that is budgeted for this lighting, it's not possible to do that. There's not enough money to cut the asphalt, take the conduit across, and put the pole in, and repatch the asphalt, and put all these lights in. So that's why you went back to the south side. It's from a fiscal standpoint.
So it does make sense to have the sidewalk on the south side, even though they have to cut the banks and all of that.
Well,
that can be done better than the.
Yeah, and just for context, Melissa, we had extensive conversations about north side, south side, and and what would be more cost-effective and doable.
Yeah, your power sources are on the south side. All your power sources for the lights are on the south side. Now, the concern between Brook and Cottage Street, I'm going to get this too far away from me, is that hill. But I went out with a tape measure, and I measured back 5 feet, which was the thickness of the sidewalk that we were planning to install. And for the most part, it goes in there. There's only a little section that might be difficult, but I think it depends on how it's cut. If we don't clear and grub it and we keep the root system, I think we can get a 5-foot sidewalk all the way through there. Then the other thing that happens is that for some reason, Troy thought the lights went all the way to Nye Street, and they don't. They stop before Lee.
Well, our district doesn't go as far as Nye Street, really.
So they stop before Lee. So you stop right here, and then at Lee, I think there's a Cobra Head. So, and that's something that when I was transferring Troy's design onto the aerial, I discovered, and I checked with them. I said, are you sure it goes to Nye Street? Because based on the distances that you're showing me on your plan, it stops at Lee. And he goes, well, then I can't speak for Troy, but we determined that, yeah, based on the distances.
Can you turn that map so that it's oriented the same way that
same
these are?
Pages.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so here's Nye Street.
Right.
Okay, so we thought, well, okay, since your lighting isn't going all the way up the street, you would get more bang for your buck if we actually kept the lighting focused on that area between Brook and Lee, and then you get more, you get 6 street lights, whereas this has an 8 street light. But you don't have a cluttered sidewalk between Cottage and Brook, and you have good spacing on your pedestrian lighting from Brook to Lee. And here's the guy that knows a whole lot more about it than I do.
She was kind enough to just pinch hit for the time being.
So, but again, there haven't been any decisions made. It's still in the early design. All I did was take Troy's drawing and put it on an aerial so that everybody could see where the lights were going and the effects on the sidewalk.
Isn't there a street light up in
here?
Yeah,
there's a Cobra Head on Nye Street.
I think there's one right on Nye, which gives pretty good light. And there's also...
there's a Cobra Head right here.
Right, there's one there. And this is fairly well lit. So even if it stopped here, it's not going to be a light. Because the concern I have is another path to nowhere. You know, where we go this far and then you can't get there from here. So, but there's already lighting. So
yeah, and the Cobra Heads are much brighter than the Acorns. Mm-hmm. So you get a huge impact with the Cobra Heads in terms of pedestrian safety, more so in a range. But the sidewalk would continue all the way through. But if you're looking from 101 down to Coast Street, you would find with the lights in that 2 or 3 block area, you would get a straight line of illumination, which I thought was one of the goals, was to show an illuminated path from 101. Now you have to jog a little bit because the street jogs a little bit, but if this were all clear through here so that you actually saw the sidewalk, you would have a pretty nice lighting.
So you also have some pretty decent lighting coming down from the library, which is a natural path that a lot of people take behind JC Market and from the library, from the courthouse coming down. So you've got a pretty well lit access path from all the way from the government section and the library section all the way down.
And if this is possible, then that means that everyone who parks there is able to exit out of the passenger side of their car.
Yes.
Which they currently are not able to do.
Correct.
We talked about that, and it didn't seem like it was going to be feasible to do the south side. It sounds like it is.
Yeah. I went out, because the hill, most people think about the hill as going straight up, and actually what it does is goes up and goes back and goes up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It goes up.
Yeah. So it's a significant toe, but the way it's sloped, if we can maintain as much of the root system as exists, because it doesn't move now, right? I mean, it doesn't move.
It
doesn't
shift.
It's just
wet because it's going to get icy.
So if we can cut it back long enough to get it in, then it should repose at the same angle, especially if we leave the foliage there. But again, we're in the early design stages, so you know anything can happen.
Well, we've been working with the assumption that the sidewalk was going to be on the north side. It's pretty flat all the way up to Nye Street, and then Tim said that it was possible to put sidewalk along the water treatment plant where there's no parking there between Nye and 101. Seems to me that it would be much more cost effective to leave it on the north side rather than having to cut back all the brush. This is going to be slimy and wet year round.
You should get your lights over there.
But if the lighting will broadcast enough light to illuminate this sidewalk.
From a safety standpoint, having your lights across the street from a sidewalk.
When Kathy and I'm...
There's challenges on both sides.
Yeah.
The stuff over at the water plant, the water treatment plant, the old water treatment plant, yeah. It can be done, but it's the ugliest part of the whole project.
Yeah, it is.
It's worse than this hill.
But the extended sidewalk between Nye and 101 on the south side is all chopped up with mailboxes, and it's not really a walkable sidewalk.
They just have to be moved. I mean, right now they're in the right of way, so it's within our.
Oh, okay. So they can be moved.
Yeah, they just need to be moved back to the back of the right of way line, or if the right of way line.
No, mailboxes have to be accessible.
Yeah, that's
but
curve.
We don't have to have right. them in a place where you can't get around them anymore. We just right. simply have to figure out where the mailbox. Even if we have to group all the mailboxes in a big group halfway down the block, we have the ability to do that.
Okay. You know, yeah, they're on the curb.
They're in places where it's hard to get around them right now.
Yeah.
We make them so it's, I mean, we're dodging yeah. poles and stuff with the sidewalk all over
It'd
the
be
place.
Better. Yeah.
Mailbox is no different. Easier. I can move a mailbox in, you know, an hour. It takes me
right.
weeks to move a pole.
So the current thinking is that this hill, or this...
This
the south side is going to be easier to deal with than that area up by the old water
probably,
treatment.
Probably, yeah.
At this point?
The problem is, you and I had walked.
Yes.
Automotive.
That's the other, that was my other question, is how do we deal with that one?
An ugly area, but, I mean, we're talking retaining walls and stuff on the north side if we dealt with that. And so maybe that's something that we look at a little bit long term. What we're doing is we're trying to look at areas that are as cost-effective to put a sidewalk in as possible, because we're not going to be able to do both sides of 3rd and 6th Street for the money that we have.
Right. Right.
And so the places where it's the most conducive to put the sidewalk in is the cheapest to put the sidewalk in, and so then we get more bang for our buck. That's what we're going for at the moment.
So does that mean that you won't have to do retaining wall on this section here? Because that was one of the problems in the beginning, as I recall, was because of the steepness of the slope, even though it steps, that there would have to be the cost of retaining one.
So and the drainage, the drainage issues are awful. And the TSP plan has a sidewalk on the north side. And there's already a lot of existing sidewalk on the north side. And Kathy and I met with Troy, and he had a plan.
On 3rd Street, the only existing sidewalk is down near Nye, down near Coast Street. There's no
right.
sidewalk on the north side of 3rd Street except
yeah,
in
right.
between
I know, but
Brook and Coast.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, there is, and Kathy and I walked with Troy, and he had a plan for putting the lights on the north side.
Well, could I ask, does it really matter to our group where the lights in the sidewalk are, as long as we have lights in a sidewalk facilitating access in one straight shot? Does it matter to us if it's north, south? Down the middle of the street, as long as we have one contiguous sidewalk and lights for that sidewalk, and then we leave it to these guys, who are the experts at that, to do it in the most cost-effective way managing our money. Do we really care?
Well, I do.
I do, and the reason that I do is because when you go down the path, down to the beach by the park, it's slimy year-round. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have the same issue here because water is always leaching off of this hill. Is there a way to drain it off?
I mean, yeah. And I'm not going to say that every engineer designs a sidewalk well, but any well-designed sidewalk should take drainage into consideration. So if we do that, I mean, there are ways to deal with it. We can put weep holes so that if the water pools, it goes out to the gutter and runs down the sidewalk. You know, we might put a French drain in with a pipe. I mean, there are different ways to deal with drainage. That's part of getting the design finished.
Okay. That's so my biggest issue.
It's a concern right now, but I don't think it's a stopper right now because we have to wait until we get it finished. I mean, we still need to do slope. We still need to do design to make sure that it works all the way through. There's just one section in there that concerns me. So I think that by the time we get further down the design process, we may be able to answer that question.
And I think
and
we
show
did.
You how.
We did start initially thinking the sidewalk would be on the south.
Yeah.
And because of the vegetation, we moved to the north. It really will help with parking tremendously.
Yeah, it will. And we've talked about extending the sidewalk on Nye Street, so it'll tie into the one coming down. So you'll have a straight shot.
And without really, having to cross the street.
Without having to cross the street. And really, for pedestrian safety, you want to keep them from crossing any more than they absolutely have
and
to.
And the same thing going up to 101, they wouldn't have to cross here.
Right.
They'll just come right across.
Well, there's also been talk about eventually cutting a trail through Green Thumb Park to come out
onto that
on 3rd Street, too. So that would help take that
That would be a really good access to have up to the library.
Yeah, because that's a really natural trail that's could be cut.
And the nice thing about putting the lights on the south side is if, you know, somebody marries wealthy or the city suddenly inherits big bucks and we decide to underground 3rd Street, your lighting is already pretty safe. It doesn't have to move that much. Whereas if we go with this plan, and this is the letter that this is the design, it's dated January of 24th, so if you talk to Troy afterwards, but this is the design he gave me. These lights are such that we would have to move them and make them safe. So you're actually spending money for a temporary fix rather than looking at it long term. Mm-hmm.
Just a question, and Tim, appreciate your thoughts on this. Is that muffler area the muffler, whatever the auto body place, right up there at 101? It's if we're putting this kind of investment to create this nice uniform pedestrian access from 101 all the way down to Night Beach and the beach, wouldn't we want to address that trouble spot now, if at all possible?
If we have the money, we could. See, the reason that's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Is because the sidewalk there is set up right against the face of the building.
Yeah.
The sidewalk was out on the edge of the street, like it is everywhere else. You wouldn't have those issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has angled parking in front of his business there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, instead of parallel.
The angled parking would have to go away.
Mm-hmm.
He could do parallel parking there. If the angled parking went away and we just made it parallel parking, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
I mean, honestly, it's a really easy fix.
Yeah.
And that's a very that's a dangerous place to angle park because I park there. Be much better
if they just went to parallel parking like everything else, and he had driveway approaches like everybody else.
Yeah,
but it's not his property anyway. It's the city's.
So it's a conversation to be had with the owner.
You know, he might even like it. Building sidewalk up and curb and gutter, and basically building a couple driveway approaches and ripping out the asphalt. Mm-hmm. And just
they might like it better than it is now.
Yeah. Or design process.
It would be much better for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in the right away now.
It would, and so. I haven't talked to him, and I don't know who he is, but my experience is that not everybody is motivated by the better good, especially if they've got a habit formed.
True.
They like their habit. It's more breaking the habit than the fact that they may not like the idea. They're just used to doing it.
Well, he's had
the only way to get across to that owner is probably how it's going to save them money in the long run or not cost them any money up front.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To widen the sidewalk.
Be. He's responsible for the sidewalk. And the first thing I do is say, hey, this is what we'd like to do. Are you okay with that? And he says yes, we're done. If he says no, we'll say, okay, this is what we're going to do. I mean, he doesn't really have much of a choice, honestly. He could come to council and petition against it. But we're looking at an overall public improvement in the public right-of-way, mm-hmm. for which we have the wherewithal to do the project, whether he likes it or not. Honestly, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
I know if that's something that we want to force the issue to have a continuous pedestrian path. I mean, it is not remotely ADA compliant. Even the sidewalk we improve would probably not be ADA
compliant. It's too steep.
It's too steep, yeah.
But at least it would have a consistent grade.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be an existing street. Yeah.
It's not practical to make it so.
And so, you know, he'd end up getting an improvement to his property, and that he would have a sidewalk put in that he wouldn't have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have driveway approaches put in that he wouldn't have to pay for. There's an element that falls within his property, unfortunately. That's what becomes difficult. So we either leave all the sidewalk right up against his building just the way it is, and basically we do only the improvements within the public right-of-way, and then there's a no-man land between where we finished and where he starts, which is not what we want to do.
Yeah, it's a tendency to make citizens cranky. When
there's a level of cooperation we want to have with that business owner.
Well, and the owner of Pioneer Printing is another one to talk with, and he may be able to lever, you know, against
We're not even there yet. We're basically at the point of, hey, would you be willing to consider this?
Mm-hmm.
And if he's willing to consider it, it's easy. That's how we start.
It'd be really nice.
Yeah.
And it can get all the way to the point where, what most of the time happens is, say for an example, he's not happy. I don't want to change the way things are set up. Okay? Well, the city's going to proceed with this project whether you like it or not. Okay? Most of the time, 90% of the time, they're like, fine. You know, what do you need to do? I don't like it, but we're going to move forward. Then there's that small margin of people who are just going to fight you no matter what. So we fight them. I don't have a problem with that. Part of doing business.
Yeah.
If that's what the overall consensus is. You know, we have the whole Night Beach parking district who's willing to invest an awful lot of money to make decent pedestrian pathway, which is part of the city goals. You know, it becomes very clear what our objective is and what the path is. And it's unlikely it's going to go very far.
And if he sees an advantage to changing it, he'll lose a couple of parking spaces, but the advantage is it actually would make him more visible.
It would, and it gives a nice wide space between the buildings and the...
He's not losing his parking per se, his parking changes. He ends up having driveway approaches that he parks in now. You know, he has parallel parking that he has to be able to use. I mean, basically he's functioning the same as he's functioning now.
Yeah.
He's just not pulling right up in front of him. From the building. It improves the safety there in terms of sight distance, you know, it improves safety and how people are able to walk in front of his business without having to walk right in front of his access doors. You know, I mean, it actually ends up being a nice benefit for him if we come to him with a proposal and a drawing. I'm not going to come to him and say, hey, I'm going to change all this stuff without having a concept. Wow. This is what we'd like to do. What do you think? I'm thinking that he's probably going to be, hey, great.
Yeah, you're paying for it? Do it.
Yeah.
And then as far as moving the mailboxes on those apartments, would you just notify them your
It's a discussion we have with the post office. We'd say, hey, post office, we have a problem with the location of your boxes. We'd like to move them. And we'd like to group them all in a single spot. And they're going to be like, that would be awesome because I don't have to make six stops. I make one.
Yeah.
And you don't even ask the people because they're all rental business. They're all rentals anyway. And basically, the post office makes a notice and says, we're planning on moving your mailboxes.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, you don't ask questions if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. So how's it coming with the sidewalk from the library down to 3rd?
So
we had talked about that. There was an issue with not being able to contact the owner of that property. The house that sits just on the north side.
We're not remotely.
We're not there? Okay. Won't worry about that.
I mean, I got lots of right-of-way to work with there. Again, it's one of those issues where if I don't contact them, I just simply take the whole front of the hill off and we go up to the property line and where it ends.
Good.
I mean, I know how to contact the owner of the place, whether he responds back to the question. There's utility billings there. We send them notices. We send them letters, even if it's a certified letter for that matter. And when construction day comes...
They managed to find us when construction.
Yeah.
They respond rather
not on my property.
That's details you don't have to worry about. We figure out where the sidewalk goes, and we go through the process we have to go through to get it done.
Great.
So. Would there be any additional lighting added to this?
Yes. If what it happens is, get closer here, is this plan... has 8 lights on it, and I think we end up with 95, like 105, 100, and 105. They're too far apart, so we may end up with one more light in this area, so to make them about 85 feet apart. That's good. Now, if we were going to stagger them, they might be a little bit further apart because they'd be 85 at a stagger. Mm. But since we're putting them all on one, we'll put them 85. Now, that gives enough light for this, as far as I know. I haven't had anybody object yet. There's enough light for this intersection because we have 2 acorns, one on each side. Okay, and then again, we've got the cobra heads down here, so this little acorn is okay. And there is a cobra head here, and we get to have that pole removed and that cobra head taken out. So your ambient lighting now becomes street ped lighting, and it gives you a real nice look all the way down. There's one other utility pole. I haven't talked to them yet because we're not far enough from the design to really say this is what we're going to do. But it may be possible. It's far enough back from the sidewalk, it isn't going to cause a problem. So we may not need to move it, and it's just one aerial across the top. So it's really not much of a break in your eye as you go.
Great.
But the rest of the poles, I'm not sure about this cobra down here, whether it needs to go over here. But we haven't talked about it because we haven't really finalized what direction we want to go. But we would stay away from putting the lights on Coast Street so that it's not cluttered more and we're not losing the acorns under the cobra heads. Mm-hmm. So that would give you still give you better walking from that last block. And then really, your main lighting focus is right there.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference in cost? Did you talk to them about?
No, I haven't gotten the cost yet. So this is the letter that is written to you, Wendy. And it prices out the cost for this lighting plan, that Troy, the eight lights. And it comes to, he considered trenching costs to get the conduit between the lights, so everything is underground. And it came to about $14,000. So we figured that when we walked it, he goes, well, if we're not putting the boxes in the landscape, we'll need to up it, the cost by $150 per concrete box, because they're now going in the sidewalk, so they're out of the way. And then because we have to draw power from two of the poles, we'd have a risers we'd need to put in. But between losing the two lights and those increases costs, we still net to about $14,000. Hmm. So the price hasn't gone up, it hasn't gone down, but the end product, I think, is better.
Mm-hmm. But we don't have a final commitment from them on that either.
So we don't have a final, well, we don't, because we haven't committed to a final design yet. But what he did is he made the adjustments on the letter that he mm-hmm. wrote to you so that he's tracking what we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Now, PUE has price changes once a year and wage changes once a year also around April. So, you know, depending on when this gets built, this might go up. But, you know, for $14,000, you're getting a bigger bang for the buck.
And those acorns, will they be shielded so they're downlight as much as possible?
There's a standard acorn light.
We talked to Troy about mm-hmm. I think they have one
in Toledo.
Didn't you look at the
I
one?
Did.
We did have discussions with Troy about getting the downward dark sky lighting, and they were not there yet, but they were looking into it. So I don't know how that. I mean, that's something that we want.
Yeah, eventually.
Everybody would like to have that. It's a much better look.
You might think about approaching the city council, requesting the council at least convey to the PUD that that's something that the city should be asking.
Okay.
PUD maintain that inventory of dark sky compliant.
Mm-hmm. Good. Because Troy says it is available, it's just not that common yet. They haven't, especially with the acorn lamp that we're doing, it's more difficult.
It's becoming more, but right now they're standard, and if I ask them, they'll say our standard is the acorn light.
Yeah.
So that's kind of.
But that's a good idea, since it is a city issue as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because we keep installing more and more of those acorns mm-hmm. pretty much everywhere now. Mm-hmm.
Would it,
a 5-foot sidewalk is more like a residential width, and I know that for commercial retail areas, the wider the sidewalk, the better.
This is a residential pathway, honestly. You're not going to get too many people crossing, and it comes back to sidewalk is per square foot.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's 1/5 more or 1/6 more expensive every linear foot to build a 6-foot wide sidewalk versus a 5-foot wide sidewalk. And so I would certainly look at that everywhere I could, but we have major space considerations here. We're dodging light poles, we're mm-hmm. dodging power poles, we're dodging utility boxes, we're dodging mailboxes. Basically, we're going to get what we're going to get. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's we're going to squeeze in whatever sidewalk we can fit in terms of width for most of 3rd Street. When you get into the big open areas, it's not a big deal. But then there's a level of consistency that we want to maintain, mm-hmm. too.
Right. Like, for instance,
we're barely going to get 5 feet through a lot of places already. Just because we're building a sidewalk on an existing street with existing poles and existing conflicts. Mm-hmm. I would love to go 6 feet. I just don't think it's going to be realistic in most places.
Do you arc those around, or are they right angled everywhere with those types?
Depends.
Of stuff?
It depends. I mean, I will actually literally encase a pole at some level without warping it around. If there's a point where, you know, the pole is 3 feet from the back of curb, you know, and I'm running down the back of curb, we will probably warp it around it. And someday when the pole goes away, we simply whack it out and run the sidewalk through.
It's nice to have that.
But every situation is unique. I mean, it's going to, I'm assuming the sidewalk's going to go and it's going to dodge 3 feet when you cross the street in one place. and it's going to warp around a pole here, and it's going to encase the pole halfway there, and it's going to be all over the map through here.
Yeah, the city doesn't have specific design standards that say, you know, we shall do 5-foot or 6-foot sidewalks, or we shall do attached walks or detached walks, and I think, as Tim's saying, that flexibility comes in pretty handy in areas like mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, from my perspective, I think a detached walk where we can do it is a better pedestrian experience.
What do you mean by detached?
There's a green strip between
between the sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
So the pedestrians have a little bit more separation from the street.
But it's not doable. More flexibility in how to do curb repairs and side of the street repairs and things, so you're not integral to the sidewalk.
Right.
The sidewalk not driven by the elevation of a curb all the time.
That brings up the issue of weeds and unsightliness, but...
Yeah.
But also makes you know it makes it easier to deal with, in many cases, you know, your mailboxes, your mm-hmm. utility poles,
sure.
your underground utilities.
In that space,
yeah.
In my perfect world, I'd have a 5-foot green strip between the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. You have a 5-foot sidewalk, a 5-foot green strip, and your curb gives mm-hmm. me a lot of flexibility in how I deal with a lot of things. Fortunately, the city was not necessarily the streets weren't. Honestly, there was not really much thought given in how the streets were actually put in. It varies dramatically from one block to the next.
As we know.
Wildly.
Yeah, 6th Street is, Sixth is the fun one.
Yeah.
Sixth.
Just nice.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
This is just a warm-up.
Let's
go. You can have a one-foot side.
Yeah, on 6th Street. Make them follow the path of the street.
Skateboard.
Is what a curve.
And you basically come back in, you deal with it when the situation changes. And so you try and come up with a master plan on how you're going to put that sidewalk in to provide consistency. And in some cases, there's going to be a pole that actually encroaches into the sidewalk at some level. Mm-hmm. Someday when that pole moves, changes, gets relocated, you fix the sidewalk then. Yeah. A panel of sidewalk is pretty cheap, you know.
Well, we're kind of looking at that across in the arch, too, and what we're trying to do with mm-hmm. that little park area there with the sidewalk that jogs and the poles and the box, and it's just ugly.
Well,
ugly.
Yeah, and the corner of Nana's on the corner of Coast mm-hmm. and 3rd Street, there's poles in the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And Troy talked about what they couldn't do it any other way.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll go away someday, but...
That'd be nice.
So is the general consensus that this is a good approach? Mm-hmm. On 3rd Street?
We'll come back with more concrete design elements as we have more concrete design elements. We're really in the preliminary stages discovering where all of our challenges are, where all the issues are, you know, what makes sense in terms of cost, what makes sense in terms of grade, what makes sense in terms of relocating poles, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, as long as we can keep the drainage from being an issue on that one section, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it does enhance the parking.
It does.
And
Yeah, we could. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can deal with that drainage. You know, we could build a really, really, very short, even just a teeny little knee wall there with drain tile, you know, sort mm-hmm. of a, and be able to pipe that into the storm sewer system. You know, you could do a French drain there, which is. It's problematic because it gets grown in with
get
things.
Filled up, yeah.
You know, like Melissa said, you could do a shallow curve or a gutter or all kinds of stuff. It's all kinds of stuff that can be done. Everything, unfortunately, with drainage needs to be maintained or doesn't work again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the challenge with any kind of drainage system. Put it in, people walk away from it, they forget it. Don't maintain it.
Sidewalks green
anymore.
And
sidewalks still wet.
Green and slippery.
So with the
walkway.
Yeah.
There would be the curb, the sidewalk, and then the light poles. The new ones you're putting in would be set back off the sidewalk. They're going
to
be in the sidewalk.
Your street lights. Well, a street light, it depends. I mean, normally street lights are about 2 feet off of your curb. That way, they don't. Well, I know, but I mean, that way they the branches don't cover them up as the trees grow and all that. So I don't know how we're going to put them in here, because if we put them at the back of the sidewalk, then we need 7 feet cut out of that hill, not 5. And then you start to get into problems.
But so then if you're chopping up the sidewalk with these intermittent poles, that kind of defeats the purpose, too, in a way.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Design detail.
But we're not having that. I call it a parking strip or whatever that green area is.
Won't happen in that one block for sure.
Okay.
And honestly, we can run the conduit for the streetlights right under the sidewalk, and curve back and just have the pole behind it. We can't put
that's a, what I
we can't put the sidewalk, we can't put the streetlight poles in that sidewalk because we don't have enough sidewalk to do that.
Okay.
So if we have a couple, three poles and end up behind the sidewalk in that location, they're not going to fall on a 5-foot sidewalk when the sidewalk is right behind the back of the curb. We'll figure out the design details later. Okay. The conduit could was very likely going to be under the sidewalk. But we just have the one sonnet tube behind in that one location, and it could be pretty tall even because of the grade that goes up there, but we'll deal with that.
Okay.
Design detail.
Did you guys want to talk a little bit about 6th Street? Looks like we've got, I mean, just kind of what current thinking is in terms of the 6th Street sidewalk.
South Side.
South Side, the only place
we can get a continuous shot from one end to the other.
Yeah.
And there's not all that much issues to deal with in 6th Street. We're dodging poles is what we're doing there. That's the main feed for PUD is running down 6th Street there from most of the north side of town. So moving poles gets tricky, and our right-of-way is relatively consistent, but the street's doing this all over the place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to end up moving fences. I mean, that's pretty much a no question. People get their fences built out in the right-of-way from what it appears. Mm-hmm. We need to verify where our property lines are based on what our survey says, and we're going to have a lot of conversations with people about moving fences so that we can get the sidewalk in. But I think for the most part we'll be able to dodge the poles with the exception of one corner, and PD sounds like has the wherewithal to be able to move the ball from the pole on the corner of Coast and 6th, right across from the skate park. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's in the way, can't be dealt with, got to be moved.
Good, and they can do that.
High Street, sorry. Yeah. The corner of High Street and 6th.
Yeah.
Right
we will end up with one mid-block crossing between Coast and High Street, which should make it easier for people to cross there to go to the skate park or to get to that side of the street. It'll come before that as you're going east on 6th from Coast, it'll be before the driveway, and it'll go across, so it'll be before the other driveway. So, but it'll be a mid-block crossing, and it'll have to be signed up above the hill so that people are aware that
there is a crossing.
We also suggested as part of that, wondering if there was any way to bring a crossing down off of the right of way through Brook and or Herbert Street down into the Sanborn Parkway pathway down there to give another access into the backside as opposed to having to cross over.
Isn't Brook at the top of that hill?
Mm-hmm.
That means you have a real site.
You're talking on 6th Street to cross 6th Street?
Yeah. That's right. We're talking about the sidewalk on the south side, not the north side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
That whole driveway entrance there, and honestly, if I had to cut costs, that's the first thing I'd cut, is dealing with the stuff going across to the skate park. Because I can run a sidewalk all the way down 6th Street on the south side without doing anything at the park there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be this is going to be tough to build as much sidewalk for the amount of money we have. And so I have a feeling we're going to get our concept design in there, and then we're going to come back to the table and say, I can't build it all. You know,
what do we get rid of?
What are we getting rid of? And that would probably be the first thing, because it's not necessary for a continuous sidewalk from Highway 101 to Coast Street. Mm-hmm. That crossing is a really good idea because there's a lot of pedestrian traffic going that way. And this is the time that it makes sense. But it's not the biggest deal, you know.
And just getting people able to walk safely up that street is the biggest deal.
Yeah, it'd be really nice. Yeah.
Lots of people walk right in the middle of the road,
yeah,
including us.
Oh.
We went out and did that survey. We had orange vests on.
Yeah. You make a better target that way.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you weren't carrying skateboards.
Wow.
And I hope to God that the council doesn't say that skateboarders can't be on the sidewalk when they go down to that skate park, because that's the safest place for them. And it will be skateboarders going down to the skate park. I was there on Saturday, and there were 20 of them with my kids out there.
Oh, yeah.
The skate park was heavily used.
Yeah. Sam, I'm not sure what you mean about that crossing. Like, what was that crossing going to be over to the skateboard? It was going to go from to the skateboard park from the sidewalk?
Put it from the corner, because there's no... Lots of people, if you watch traffic, watch pedestrian traffic going down to the skate park, okay? If you put a sidewalk in on the south side, people are going to be walking on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter what direction they're coming from.
Yeah.
And so many people go to that park, they're going to be crossing right in the middle of the block there.
Yeah.
If we put the crossing in or not. Okay, and so
we know they're going to be doing it, so we might as well put the crossing in and mark it appropriately.
Uh-huh.
So that we get people to cross where we want them to cross. It's signed to the best of our ability, and so people are aware that people are crossing in the middle of the road there. They're going to cross whether we mark it or not. I mean, just sit there and watch that corner. People are going in and out of that park all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Probably more people walking to the park than walking down the Coast Street, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On a regular daily basis.
So does that mean just painting the crosswalk on the street, or does it mean
painted crossing, there'd be signage. Mm-hmm. We'd probably improve the driveway on the other side to have a pedestrian ramp there. You know, that driveway's messed up.
Yeah, it's
which driveway from?
There's a driveway where you go into the park there. Well, it's the road.
Yeah, the gravel road.
And
yeah.
The driveway that comes in at an angle right
to
there.
To that house.
That's all
on
messed
the
up
east side.
There.
Yeah.
So there's some level of curb we'd have to fix in there in order to put the pedestrian ramp in and get the marking crossed and have it accessible.
So there is
on
cost.
Both sides.
Still need
but
that
you could
High Street there.
Yeah.
You still need that south entrance onto High Street to the state park. To the skate park, or could
High Street if they use that.
Yeah, but could it go around and onto 8th Street, which would be a
no.
Park.
We're talking one way at one point.
Yeah, that's what I'm
I
wondering.
Think. I don't know.
But we're talking pedestrian traffic there.
We're just talking pedestrian traffic at this point. We're putting in we're putting in a ped ramp at that corner, which would involve some level of curb that we could put it up to. Mm-hmm. And the drainage is so messed up there that it makes sense to curb through and put the pedestrian ramp in at the same time. So that would be the first cost-cutting thing I'd yank out of that project. Mm-hmm.
But that would be something you could, when the money appears, or is
requested, it could go back
in. We
probably have to deal with it in some other fashion, because it's just, it becomes an obvious issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already an obvious issue. It's just how you fund it, where you get the dollars from. We already have $15,000 that comes from our state gas tax that's supposed to go to our pedestrian and bicycle improvements that we're going to try and toss at this as well.
Good.
That was really what we were hoping to use to extend that piece of sidewalk between the library and, mm-hmm. 3rd Street. I'm telling you, this project's going to be a challenge to fund.
Yeah.
I have a feeling when we get down to it, we're going to be over our money. And we're going to have to make some cuts someplace, and we're probably going to make cuts on either 3rd or 6th Street. We're going to have to pick one or the other. Probably unlikely will we have the money to be able to run everything all the way down 6th Street and all the way down 3rd Street. So, but we don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. just guessing at this point. My gut is telling me I'm not going to have it.
That's another beauty about putting the sidewalk on the south on 3rd Street, because even though we don't really like the way the sidewalk is up by the corner, there is a sidewalk already there.
Right. Yeah,
that's true.
So
it does cut part
so
of that
we
cost.
Save that cost mm-hmm. of putting in one block of sidewalk, which can be considerable.
Well, especially that one
that,
block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that will be expensive.
Yeah. So that's one of the. If we have to cut, it will still give you a continuous walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
6th Street has less problems in terms of constructing sidewalk, mm-hmm. grading issues, and stuff like that.
Yeah, once you
does.
Get up the hill,
has some
that.
Blocks of significant issues.
Yeah.
And so, I'm thinking, and I talked to Melissa about this a little bit, we're probably going to look at this in pieces. What's the most expensive pieces to build as part of this project? You know, which blocks are the most cost-effective to fix now, and which ones are the least cost-effective to fix? You know, if we built it by the wastewater plant, as an example, would be the single most expensive block in the mm-hmm. project.
Yeah.
Which is why we're shying away from that if we can. Probably the second most expensive block is going to be the piece where that embankment comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because of all the grading involved in it.
But there is sidewalk on both ends of that, which is a plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, 3rd Street has more contiguous sidewalk than 6th Street does.
Mm-hmm. And it's a dark spot, so if we were to focus everything mm-hmm. there, you get a major piece of sidewalk and you'd get a major piece of lighting. So you really get...
It's a big improvement.
Bang
mm-hmm.
to the
and that's what we're about here.
What is the city's right-of-way along that south side of 3rd Street on that bank? Do you know? Well,
probably the same as it is everywhere else. I mean,
but, well, what is it?
I got the survey here. I don't have a scale on here, but...
Because I think the light poles are already set back on...
It's the same width as every place else in the block. I'm guessing it's probably 60 feet. Total width, and the road is generally centered on there. And this is the stretch we're talking about right here. These lines there indicate the proposal for the part of the survey. He did a boundary survey in there and identified where the right of way was and the corners were. So the right of way in there is pretty accurate. I can go and take a tape measure off the back of the curb and measure out and tell you within a few inches where the right of way line, which is good enough for me. And so, you know, if the street was, if the right of way would built out on either side in that stretch like it was anywhere else, I mean, that's mentally picture what it looks like the next block up where there's no hill. We have lots of room to do the improvements we need to do in there. It's the grade that's the problem. In fact, I don't think we have any issues in terms of width of right-of-way on any place in here to get the sidewalks in. It all has to do with how the curb line is today, how many trees we got, the poles we're dodging, the piece between Burke Street and Coast, or in High Street, how narrow it is in there. I've got as much right-of-way there as everywhere else. They just built the street right narrower because of the embankments on either side.
Yeah.
You know, if I had all the money in the world, shoot, I'd blast that road out all the way out to the full width and run 6th Street all the way through.
Yeah.
Because the right-of-way is there to do it. The corners are actually there. There are property corners identified in there, but I got tons of room. It's a great big hill and lots of trees and all kinds of other stuff that's already there.
Well, I was wondering, in terms of the vegetation, if it could be cut way back, at least on the city's right-of-way when the project's being done, because you mentioned the trees growing over the streetlights. Or anyway, we'd like. I think the more the vegetation was cut back would be good.
It would be. Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully it could be maintained.
Honestly, I got no problems clearing vegetation on the right-of-way. It doesn't do us any bit of good at all in terms of maintaining our infrastructure. You know, let other people grow trees.
The only positive to it is leaving the root systems that are stabilizing the bank.
Well, I can stabilize the bank with other plantings too if I need to.
It's gonna type of foliage.
The cut's gonna be the cut. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna cut more than we have to. And if there's trees within that cut, they're going. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Mm-hmm. I got a stable slope, it's gonna be what it's gonna be, and whatever falls within that stable slope ends up being cut, and then we reseed the thing out again. The best way to hold an embankment back is trees. But if I'm into the root system of the trees, I'm better off taking the tree because the tree's not going to survive and it's probably going to fall over. You know, so it's all a balancing act with what you need to do.
We've just had a lot of issues about vegetation growing over the sidewalk area, and that's why I was hoping if it could get all cut back and then we could maintain it with our works project days or something. Just because
in that area between Brook and stuff on 3rd Street there where it's grown over so far, that will be cut back as part of that. The slope and cut.
Yeah.
I mean, that will be quite a ways back from the sidewalk in there.
Just has also to help it dry out.
That's
well, it makes it, it'll make things dry out and make it more accessible looking.
It will cut that vegetation back to a certain distance wherever a cut ends up being.
Some light in there. And
So, I mean, there's an element that will just be excavated. I can't have a vertical cut there. You know, there's some level of cutback that we'll have to do. So now I'm not going to go back in the private property any at all. So if somebody has vegetation or hedge or something growing over a sidewalk, that's a code thing.
Yeah, we can't.
You know, but in the right of way, I will put in the improvement. I will cut back the slopes to make them stable, and that's pretty much the limit of vegetation removal that I'm willing to do. If that makes sense. I want to go in and be trimming trees as part of this because that's a cost that's really not involved with the sidewalk construction. Clearing and grubbing ain't cheap.
Yeah. No, I wasn't thinking of that at all, but it's just when we're cutting that vegetation, like around where the opposite the arch, across from Toujours, the blackberries are going over the sidewalk, and I have trimmed them back, but I wonder where are the city's right of way is. I don't want to be on private property.
Yeah.
Cutting back
vegetation. That was surveyed as part of this. You could probably measure back and find out.
Oh, good.
I'd love to have Larry do that again before winter.
Yeah.
That's this area right here.
Yeah.
You know.
Great.
Okay, and this is this where the vault is and all that stuff?
Yeah.
It's in, right there.
That's Beach Street right there. So the Toujours is right in the corner here.
Yeah. And there's a property, a survey marker, I think, right there. And I figured the property line or the city's right of way.
That would probably follow it. It looks like those red marks are the property marks. I'd have to verify that.
Mm-hmm. There's another one across from Cafe Stephanie, and it's way deep.
Yeah,
it's a yellow survey marker?
It's an orange orange marked stick.
Because this whole area in here is just overgrown, and we were wondering how far back
that. Yeah, that would we would like to be able to cut back on the city right away, and then just make sure we're not encroaching on private property. Yeah. So
looks like we could
because it really blocks the sidewalk and discourages people from walking.
Well, and when you look at that, there's wax myrtle up in there, and then there's the ivy and all this other junk just grown into it, and it's just choking it. So you know that if you can cut that stuff out by going back in.
This part right here.
Yeah. I think that's possible.
It'd be nice to get an enlargement of this so that we can read the code.
We have that capability.
And it, you
then we can measure it and actually.
How big do you want it?
Well, just looking at so we can read it.
Back so that we weren't going on somebody else's property.
Well, blowing it up to scale might be more of a challenge. That
just a little bit bigger. Or give it to us and then we'll make it a little
like twice
bigger.
That.
Because if we know that we can measure from the curb back.
That answers quite a few questions for us right there.
Uh-huh. Show a couple distances in there for them.
That would be great.
Don't go past here.
Yeah.
So, Tim, you thinking about bringing this back to the group when you have a preliminary design? What kind of timing generally would you think?
January.
Sometime in January?
Probably, I'm guessing. You know, I'd like to get this thing ready to bid so that when the contract is awarded, it's right at the beginning of our nice season, right at the beginning of summer. And we definitely have the wherewithal to do that. Ted Jones, our new senior project manager, he accepted yesterday. He's taking over my old position, and that will help us to move capital projects along much more quickly. Everything's sort of really dragged over the last 4 or 5 months because we just haven't had the manpower to do it.
Local person?
Local as in Portland. Huh? Moved to Portland from Cincinnati about 3, 4, 5 years ago, somewhere in that range.
Okay.
Very experienced, very well spoken, very well written, a lot of enthusiasm.
Good.
Congratulations on getting somebody good then.
Yeah, holy cow.
Last conversation, you were kind of not tickled silly over what you were getting.
Yeah.
He lives in Portland?
He lives in Portland right now.
Is he going to move down here?
Let's hope. That's a bitch of a commute.
Yeah, this is expectation, yes, because he's planning on moving down here. He's just renting up there, so he's got little ties holding him back. He's engaged, or will soon be engaged, based on the conversation. I wasn't quite sure which.
Oh.
But they're both planning on moving down here.
Great.
That's really good.
Great.
So, in terms of next meeting dates, is there any outside of this particular project, which is the big one in terms of this budget? I mean, is there anything else that we need to meet and discuss between now and January? Or do you want to set a date out that far, a couple months out?
I don't know if we want to talk about how the parking district is like working, or have there been any problems with it, or. As far as the
parking enforcement officer was under the impression that business owners could park in the time parking because he was told that by some business owners.
Oh,
and I explained
clever.
To him that is not the case.
Clever.
Jeez.
That's cool.
I bet we know who. Interesting.
Well, so, with us, I'm going to roll.
Okay.
The other question
that we might want to talk about not too far out is a possible crossing across from Panini and across from you. That's still kind of in our hope list.
Okay, that would be because people walk
all the time.
It's kind of like what Tim was saying with the skate park. People cross that road all day long.
Yeah. Now, when putting in a sidewalk, and it would involve electrical access, but I was just in Amherst, Massachusetts, which is very pedestrian friendly, and they have bollards, lighted bollards at their like mid-cross crossings that light up when people.
Oh.
No,
they attract a lot of attention.
Yeah, but you don't have nearly the speed nor the volume going through Coast Street there to make a pedestrian activated beacon like that necessary. I mean, signing it and striping it, and it's not going to go across from Panini because the sight distance there is just atrocious. It would be probably at the peak of the hill, which is another block up at least. because I wouldn't put a pedestrian crossing in that area.
It's right around where my hydrant is.
It's something we need to look at, and just not on the super important list right now. I hate to say that. I just got so many other things that are so problematic right
now. As long as it doesn't drop off our list, I think.
And I don't think it will. As long as you hang on to that on your list there, especially when Ted comes back in there, we can take a look at that a little bit more comprehensively, because I really want to make sure we put it in the right place. Mm-hmm. We've got lots of pedestrian crossings that are in bad spots in terms of sight distance, and that if we put it by Kathy Mundo across the street from Panini or whatever it is, that's a really bad sight distance location. I went out there and drove through it and looked. Best place is at the top of the hill there.
I tried to give you some pictures showing cars on that slope and where they could actually see you and you could see them. And there's, for the speeds in there, 25, even 30 miles an hour, it's at location. You can see the cars coming up and they can see you. I stood in the middle of the street to take those pictures so that I could get some of those.
Yeah, and it's just geometry. Mm-hmm. Just like you're saying, you know, what's the height of the typical driver? What distance can they see? What's the speed of the vehicle? They call it perception reaction time. When they see somebody in the crossing, how quickly can they respond, mm-hmm. hit the brakes, and stop their vehicle? And there's all this different stuff that you set up. It's all the engineering piece of it.
Are they going uphill or downhill?
They're going uphill or downhill. Uphill. What conditions? So I look at the worst case scenario with the worst sight distance, going as fast as they should be going in there, and how quickly can they stop? And, you know, but it seems reasonable to put it at the peak of the hill because you can see it from both directions. You know, and people are inclined to move a little bit out of their path to cross at a good location if there's a lot of traffic. You're always going to get the people who are going to jaywalk.
Yeah.
You know.
But something would be better than nothing.
Cool. Would be better than nothing. So I think we need to look at it again.
Yeah.
Just not good.
After the first of the year.
I'm thinking mid-January would be a good time to start to think about next year's budget for the parking district. And this would certainly be a type of project that would fall into next year's budget. It would be a good time maybe to bring in the parking enforcement and get, you know, just have a coordination discussion mm-hmm. with them in advance of the upcoming, you know, tourist season mm-hmm. so that the enforcement, you know, is all working properly on the new timed signs and all of that. And then looks like we'll have a preliminary design available. Mid-January seem reasonable, Tim?
Yeah.
I mean,
this is working on it now.
Okay.
Time frame for us to have kind of the kinks worked out of it, and preliminary cost estimate on what it's going to look like and where the issues we're going to have are going to be, and maybe start weaning some stuff.
Okay.
So it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, we had a couple other things that we thought we would talk about today. The power for the Performing Arts Center. Who pays the power?
Block by block basis.
And also an entry change there.
And that's what I'm talking about.
And I think, right.
Throw 30% on it and figure out if we can make it.
I think the entry change, I don't know if City Council's still looking at that or what. I don't know if, has that progressed at all?
The PAC entry?
Oh, they had Catherine had a public meeting, but I don't know what happened with that.
So you guys want to set a date real quick?
Sure. So January?
We need to turn back the right of way there in front of the PAC. They're going to do a project there. That's still public right away.
Okay.
They're doing a PAC expansion. They need to turn back that right away so that that issue is not involved in this. It should probably be done anyway because it's always going to be the PAC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's still public right away through there, is all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just a detail on our part that needs to be dealt mm-hmm. with then, since we're talking about it.
So that nobody forgets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because honestly, there have to be variances for setbacks and all kinds mm-hmm. of other jazz associated with that. If that it was still right of way, you know, and so mm-hmm. we might just get rid of it.
Vacate it.
Good.
Probably all the way through the park. I think it's still right of way all the way through the park.
So how's the 10th or 11th of January?
Fine. Okay, let's see. When this NBMA meet would be the...
We would be at the 11th.
11th. So how about the 10th?
Okay.
It's 10 o'clock. Good for everybody?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Great. I'll be here like tomorrow.
I know.
If you don't mind,
And I'll bring the thing with me tonight.
Thanks again, Tim, for all the work and
Thank
night.
You.
Each.
Thanks.
We're loving it.
You're welcome. Hopefully we'll be out of there today.
We love all the disruption. We need progress.
You wait till you tuck
your phone. Are you line.
That's the problem. There's a phone line that runs right through the middle of the catch basin. So
oh, no.
In fact, you probably so will be out of phone service because they're going to have to cut it and splice it right around. They should provide some sort of notice.
If they can just let us know when.
When, yeah.
I'll my mercy. I'm supposed to come out there and take a look at it and see what he can do, but I can't finish without them moving it. They buried the storm drain pipe and the foam cable in the exact same trench. They're literally right together.
It seems to be going
Oops.
Wrong.
So I cannot build a storm sewer structure until they move the line.
Okay.
But it's a small issue. It's not even a structure that we really had to replace. We did it because we were right next to it and it was kind of cruddy. So it doesn't affect the drainage or anything. It's just
Is that sidewalk?
It's the one right on your block there. It's the one where they got the great big steel plate sitting and they cut it back to the side.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's just
there.
Me.
Yeah. There's
discussion about changing the entrance.
The approach, the road approaches?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You brought that up, that the PAC is considering changing their parking lot entries.
Right.
Yeah.
That's...
When did that one... Where's this one coming from? I'm just trying to...
Mark is from the...
Mark?
No, well, it's... Catherine has had these... she's had two
Thank you.
Communities...
Thank you.
Just visioning things going on, and I think it grew out of that. And I didn't go to the meeting, but I saw that she had another public meeting with the architect's preliminary drawings. But I think it's something that they have to then go out and get funding for.
Oh, okay, so
it's not...
Yeah, and after our last meeting, you and Jody and I were standing in the hallway talking to Mayor McConnell, and mm-hmm. he brought that up, because we were talking about trying to do something with the planting and the lighting at the PAC, mm-hmm. and he said, well, you might want to hold off because we're looking at changing things there.
The entrance,
the
right?
Entrance
because
it's part of an expansion of the PAC?
Yeah, yes. It would be an entrance...
Which way are
would
they
be
planning to
expanded
west?
Towards the east.
Okay. And so I think the east.
The entrance of the parking lot would be moved east.
So there would and expansion of the PAC would be paid for through what?
They're going to get go out and try to get grants or
Okay, so
that's
somebody's going to
parking a little more.
Somebody's going to
well,
design together.
He's going to redesign parking.
Somebody's going to put at least a conceptual design. I mean, if you're going to go after grants, you're going to have a conceptual design of what you want.
And that's what she had presented one afternoon